We have that peace.
Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. I was telling one of the guys before I got in, we had this weird east wind in our part of the world, and so all winter it's been like drifts coming from the west, and now it was drifts coming from the east when I was driving to church this morning. Bill, did you pull that guy out of the snowdrift there? Okay. There was a guy that was trying to drive my lane as I was coming into town, and all of a sudden he realized it was there, and so he just like steered right into the drift. I'm like, well, I can't do anything about it with a van, so he's going to have to figure it out, or Bill will have to help him afterwards. But praise God, we're here and we're safe, and winter can't last forever, right? It's days are numbered. We were actually in Winnipeg for a couple of days, and boy, they got lots of, there's no snow down there. There's lots of soil showing through and lots of stubble, and they got her easy compared to us, but winter can't last forever. And I know people like Marcus are still happy for their month or so winter anyway. He wants to get in some more snowboarding. So this snow is probably just especially for Marcus. That's kind of what I'm feeling. So I want to let you guys know I'm not going to be here next week. We actually have my son's provincial hockey tournament, and so that's in St. Anne, Winnipeg, I think. I'm not sure where St. Anne is, but it's someplace down there. By Winnipeg. So we're going to be together as a family for Christian's Provincial Hockey Tournament. But you guys, what's that? Okay, well, I'll Google it on my phone and we'll make sure to get there. You bet. I use that a lot. Christian and I were actually hanging out for most of the weekend because Canis was with the volleyball team in Winnipeg, and so Christian was my GPS coordinator. He was telling me when to turn, and he's got it pretty good, actually. He's a pretty good navigator. Next time we're in the big city, I might have to put Canis in the back seat and beside me. I'm gonna pay for that one. Debbie, look what you got me into. You should never even started talking about GPS. Okay, right on. Well, we'll check it out next week. It'll be good. You guys have a real treat next week though, because Pastor Fallon Cook is going to be preaching. So Ryan and Fallon, of course, are our youth pastors, and so we've had this on the calendar for a couple months, and I almost wish I was going to be here to hear it, but I'll have to listen to it afterwards online, but you guys are going to enjoy that. It's going to be really good, so make sure you come out and invite a friend to hear Fallon, because I know she's going to have a word in season. It's going to be really good. We're going to kind of switch gears a little bit. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the glory of God, right? And how Moses cried out to the Lord, Lord, show me your glory. And we've been talking about the glory of God. And what is the glory of God? That is his goodness, his power, and his presence, right? But we're going to shift gears a little bit because there's something coming up next week that we're going to talk about in a bit. And so I just want to lay a little bit of the framework and foundation for that. And it was interesting, actually, in our worship service today that God was talking to us about relationship, right? Aaliyah led the song, Good, Good Father, and we started talking about, and the Lord started speaking to us about relationship, and about we see him as an earthly father, and Fallon was praying and exhorting us, how God is speaking to us about the increased need for relationship with him and with others, right? Specifically today, we were learning about relationship with God our Father and how we see him and how we relate to them. And so I want to talk a little bit about relationship and community and things like that, just setting the foundation for some of the things that are coming up very soon here at Solid Rock. I want to mention first physical needs. There are physical needs that we have. If you're a human being, we have all these needs in common. Some of those, what are common physical needs? There'd be oxygen, water, sleep is a common physical need. Pizza is a common physical need. We share that in common, right? I had food, then I just changed it to pizza because there's a scripture that says, man shall not live by bread alone. But I'm pretty sure if you add some tomato sauce to that bread and a little bit of oregano sauce and some meat and some cheese, and I like mushrooms on my pizza, and some more meat and then some more cheese and some more meat, you could live on that alone right there. It pretty much has all the food groups covered, and I could live by pizza alone. But there are basic needs that we have as humans, right? And what happens if we don't meet those basic needs? If we're not getting enough food, if we're not getting enough water, if we're not getting enough sleep, then our health can start to fail, right? And we'll notice, and we have to like top up in that area, get some extra sleep, or maybe eat some healthier meals, do things to take care of ourselves. And what happens as humans, as adults, we grow in our ability to take care of those needs ourselves, right? Those of you, even if you're of school age, if you have children of school age, they should probably be able to cook a meal for themselves and figure out if they're tired to have a nap or if they're thirsty to get a drink. As we grow in maturity, we are able to meet our own physical needs. But there's other needs as well we have. And I'm not going to, this is not an exhaustive list. And so I apologize if I missed some really obvious ones. But we have emotional needs. We have relational and companionship needs, right? We have spiritual needs. And there's lots of, there's some complex needs that we have as human beings. And the thing is, we can't meet all of those needs by ourselves, right? The need for companionship. Well, how can I meet that need myself? I can't, right? And so I can go get a drink, or I can make myself some pizza, which I've been known to do in the past sometimes if I'm really desperate. But I can meet my physical needs myself, but some of the spiritual needs and the emotional needs and the relational needs, we have to go to others and we have to go to God for those needs. So God's designed us to need other people in our lives to meet some of those needs in our lives. And people need us, and we need them. And that's really why I believe God has designed the concept of community. And the first, we are designed to live in community. The first unit of community that we experience in life is the family that we're born into, right? That's our immediate community. And so you'll have parents, and you may have had siblings. And so the first community you experienced was the family that you were born into. And then what is the family of God? Well, the family of God is just, it's a family of families. That's really what a church is. It's just we call ourselves a family because we are a big family. We're a family of families, and we're believers, and we're people that love God. We're children of God, and so you're born into a family before you're born into a church. But if you're here, you're part of the family of God. You're part of a family of families. And just like your family is not complete without you, and you're not complete without your family, that same aspect applies to the church, applies to the kingdom of God. So if you're part of God's family, if you're not around, if you're not joined into God's family, that family is not complete without you. And the kicker is you're not complete without that family. There needs to be both in place. I'm going to read a scripture from Philippians 2:1-4. This is in the New Living. Philippians 2, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Paul's asking these questions, but they're kind of rhetorical questions, right? He's asking these questions, but he knows the answers, and he's expecting that the readers are going to know the answers as well. So Paul says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Absolutely. Any comfort from his love? You bet there is. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Absolutely. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try and impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So God is saying, it's all about community. Are you willing to engage in community? Are you willing to be in community? And the thing that I've found in life, because I've, my natural personality is probably a little bit more of a loner personality, and it was probably more pronounced, I think, when I was younger a little bit. So I had friends, obviously, but there was times where I was just quite fine being myself. Even my later teen years and early 20s, sometimes I would just go do my own thing and be quite happy doing it. And that's often where I felt happy, just felt at peace and got recharged by myself. But one of the things that I've learned, as I become a more well-rounded personality, as God has worked in my heart and fixed some things and healed me and restored me, I desire community more, not less. And the more healthy I am, the more whole I am spiritually and emotionally, I like being around people. And so, if Candace is off with Christian at a hockey tournament and the girls are off doing something else and the house is empty, I'm thinking, man, where's my family? I want to be with my family, right? And so I'll go watch a hockey game with Bill or something like that. That's one of the blessings of heaven, your parents and your in-laws on the same property. There's a few blessings for having the family all together. Yeah, there's a few. But you have family together and you can spend time together, right? And so it's really good. If you get stuck, like the other day, I was able to pull Bill out, right? To have built-in help, another big truck in the yard to pull you out, right? So if I get stuck, Bill can pull me out. And if he gets stuck in the yard, I can pull him out. There's lots of good things about being a family together on a property. But, that's a blessing and that's a treasure that we have. But God's built us. We're hardwired to live in community. We're hardwired to be together and meet each other's needs and love each other. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. You know, some Christians get the idea that nowadays it's just okay to do our own thing, because we can get the word of God, you know, through our cell phones or maybe our tablet, or we can go on the internet and read a sermon, or we can, you know, join a Facebook group where there's a news feed with a bunch of scriptures that come down, and we can even send a prayer request. You know, you can get a prayer request Facebook group or something like that. And what, you know, it's something that's probably become more prevalent in the last 20 or 30 years, but especially as technology has increased and social media has increased, is more and more people, it seems, are getting okay with the notion that it's just totally fine to be disconnected, kind of go spiritually cordless. I was driving back from Winnipeg last night. I just had some of you guys could probably tell me, does this exist? But are there new vehicles that you can buy where first of all, Ryan, what is the wireless charging standard that Apple has and Samsung? Is it called Qi or something like that? What is it? Okay. So are there new vehicles you can buy where that's like built right into the console of your vehicle? I want that. I cannot wait for that, right? Because I have a phone, I have to have a USB plugged into like some dongle, my 12-volt converter, you know, and then I have another cable because I don't have Bluetooth in my vehicle. So my phone's got all these cables, and Krish and I are there, and I'm like turning my phone around, trying not to bump it, and the sound's cutting out. I can't wait when I can just throw my phone on the middle console of my vehicle, and it's just going to start charging right there. That's going to be awesome. My next truck will have that. Guarantee it. That's cordless technology, right? That's a good thing. But in our spiritual lives, we're not called to be cordless, right? And it can kind of sound sophisticated, like, well, you know, I just think that I can just go and just spend some time with the Lord by myself, and, you know, I'll get some words some other way, and I'll be just fine in my life as a Christian. But God has not designed us to be cordless Christians. He's designed us to be connected to each other, be plugged into Him. He's the power source, right? To be plugged into the power source, but also to be connected with each other, to be on a network with each other, and not cordless, but firmly connected together. We'll talk more about that, and I'll share some more scriptures with you. Romans 12, 4-5 says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So if we're all part of the same body, and we all belong to each other, can the elbow opt out of being part of the body? It can't, right? Or your big toe can't say, well, I'm just done with being the body. I'm just going to be a big toe and body. You go ahead and do what you want. I'm going to be my own thing. How long is a big toe going to last? Hopefully none of you have tested that theory. But a big toe is not much without being connected to the body, right? And the body is not complete if that big toe is not attached. So we're all part of a body, and we belong to each other. This scripture is really clear. It says we're all parts of one body, and we belong to each other. That means when I'm missing, the body is missing a part. And when you're missing, the body is missing a part. And when a part is missing, does the body suffer? Absolutely. But you know what? The part actually misses even more. That part of the body that's missing, if it's not connected to the body, it's going to miss out even more. It's not going to do so well because it's not connected to the source. The Apostle John talks about this in John 15, starting at verse 15:1. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So we need to stay connected to Christ, but connected to each other. And that's ultimately how we're going to be fruitful in our lives. We're going to mix a few metaphors here because we started talking about being part of a body, and now we're talking about a tree and branches and a vine. But, you know, Jesus taught using pictures, and so it's okay for us to use those as well. But we need to stay connected if we're going to bear fruit. And that's not just connected to Jesus, but it's also connected to each other. Amen? So this concept of spiritual community, I really believe it's vital to the health of believers. When you and I are joined to a church family and we're gathering together and we're ministering together, each other, we're encouraging each other, we're loving each other, the body of believers, the body, the church, that family, it's healthier. But you're healthier as well, right? We both benefit. It's called a mutually beneficial relationship. Ephesians 4:15-16, this is the New Living Again. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of this body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. I want to read that last statement again. When each part does its own special work, each part has a part to play, an own special part, it helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So together we meet each other's needs. You know, when you do your part, you help the other parts grow. And when the other part, the other people that are connected to this family, when they're functioning in their role, when they're finding out exactly what is that special thing that God's called them to do, and they're doing that, they not only do they grow, but they help you grow as well. And so God's just instilled and created and designed this system of community to make His church strong, to make the kingdom of God strong, and for us to be able to grow together. And the reason I want to talk about this is because we are very close to launching Connect Groups here at our church. We've been talking about this for a while. And Connect Groups, what are Connect Groups? Connect Groups are going to be times where we get together and meet in each other's homes and just have a greater degree of relationship with each other and with God. You know, Sunday mornings are really important in the life of a church. What we're doing here right now today, it's really important to come together and worship the Lord together, to encourage each other, to hear the word. It might be myself or someone else, my dad, Pastor Ray, or Fallon, like next week. You know, we're preaching and we're teaching and we're giving you guys the word of God. And the Bible tells us to do that. And we honor the Lord when we do that. When we come together in a corporate setting like this and we're all gathered together, we're honoring the Lord when we're doing that. But what I'm doing right now, it's mostly a one-way interaction, right? It's mostly me sharing what the Lord's put on my heart and sharing with you. But there's not really a lot of room or opportunity for questions or for us to chat about it. I mean, it would be fun to do that, but we'd get really, really hungry because lunch is in about 45 minutes or so, right? And so we wouldn't have time to do that, you know, for hours to sit and visit. And of course, as the church grows, there'd be more people and there'd be more questions and we'd be here all day, right? You guys would be really, really hungry. And so we can't do that on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning is important, and it's really important in the life of a believer, but it's not enough to meet all our needs, right? We talked about how we have spiritual and emotional and relational needs, and as believers, Sunday morning can't do it all. It's not enough. It's kind of like that pizza. It's really, really good, and you got to have it, but really, quite honestly, it's not enough. You need more than pizza to stay alive and stay healthy, right? And so you need more than Sunday morning to stay connected. You know, we're going to be here for maybe just a little bit more than an hour and a half this morning, right? A little bit of maybe half an hour in worship and some announcements, and I might speak for, but really, really, really be here for really about an hour and a half, and that's not a whole lot of time, and then we'll visit and share afterwards. Are you hoping I'm going to speak a little bit longer? Is that it? It's not that much time, an hour and a half out of a week. When you're with believers and you're praising, you know, you're praising God, you're worshiping, you're hearing the word, it goes by fast. It really does. It goes by, well, hopefully it goes by pretty quick. If it seems really long, then maybe I'm not doing my job. But we need more than that. We need more during the week. And so we want to create an opportunity for that to happen. I believe that when we get together during the week, what happens? We kind of sometimes, when we're here on Sunday morning, you have your Sunday morning clothes on, right? You might be dressed nice like me, or like Addy. He's a classy guy, and he's got his Sunday best on. But, you know, we also sometimes put on, I don't know what you'd call it, like a kind of like a Sunday facade, or like everything's well, everything's going great, right? But it's in the week. It's that Monday to Saturday when we're working and things are happening. That's when real life happens, right? And so when we get together during the week, oftentimes what happens is you see a little bit more what people are like and what they're going through and what are the challenges that they're facing. And it's just a little bit more real sometimes, you know. We might not be as dressed up, and what we're wearing, or we might, even how we're feeling might not be quite as dressed up and pretty. But that's all right, because it's real life and God's called us to be in real life together. So with our Connect Groups, we're gonna create this environment where we meet together in homes once a week. I'm getting ahead of myself. I won't go too much into the details. We'll talk a little bit more at the end. But those are going to be opportunities to get to know each other better. So we're going to grow relationally. But even greater than that, it's going to be an environment that helps us grow spiritually, right? So there's going to be room for that interaction that we talked about. Let's say if you're in a group of 10 or 12 people, well, there's times where you can talk about the Word of God and you can ask a question and you can give a prayer request or you can say, I've really been wondering about this area. Can someone explain that to me? What, you know, I found this scripture the other week, and I just, I'm not sure I understand it. You know, that's going to be the perfect opportunity to do those kind of things in a connect group. It's interesting that when Jesus, do you know that he started one of the first small groups? He had a group of the disciples, 12 of them. That was Jesus' small group. How long did they meet for? 3 years, right? They had a three-year-long small group. And he would meet with them all the time, and they met in people's homes. Of course, they traveled around. They did things together, right? But that was his small group. And Jesus said, well, I'm one guy. How many people can I effectively pour into? How many people can I really, truly give my very best to? And it was 12 people. That was the amount of people that God gave him. And so our connect group's going to be pretty much right around that same size, 10, 12 people, right around there, because that's a good amount of people where you can just get together and share life together, talk about the Word of God together, and really have true great relationship. This concept of meeting in people's homes and in small groups, it's interesting how it's in the early church as well. We're going to read from Acts chapter 2. This is we're going to start quite a ways down the chapter, verse 41. But it's interesting how, you know, the people who were the leaders of the early church, they were people that spent time with Jesus, right? A lot of them were the people that were part of that first small group, right? They were part of the original 12. Of course, Jesus had many disciples and followers, you know, that were greater than the 12. But the early church leaders were definitely those people. They had spent time with Jesus in his small group. They had spent time in his home or in homes with him. And they had seen the effectiveness of that model. And so when the early church was formed and they started getting more and more structure, it's really interesting what they gravitated to. How did they do it? Let's read from verse 41. This is right after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So you have, let's say we have the 120 that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Then Peter preaches, and now we have 3,000 more added. So just absolutely explosive growth. And what did they do? Well, it tells us, you know, exactly what they did with those new believers right here. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, so communion, and to prayer. Verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. So they came together in a corporate setting like we're doing right here, right? It says they came together, they had meetings where they were all gathered, and they sold their property and possessions, and they shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So they would gather together in one place like us, but they also needed times where they could interact with each other. They wanted to share meals with each other. They wanted to be in each other's homes and be sharing real life with each other. So they did that. They got together. They ate meals together. They took the Lord's Supper together. They encouraged each other. They listened to preaching and teaching, and they talked about the Word of God. They prayed for each other. There was miracles that happened in their gathering, right? The Holy Spirit was moving in might and power, and so miraculous things were happening. And there was outreach, right? They were blessing each other by showing compassion with their possessions and their money and the food that they had. And so there was all kinds of things and all these activities that were going on. But really the backbone of it was believers getting together and meeting in small groups and worshiping together, hearing the Word together, and then just spending life together, doing life together. And there was such an intense hunger for that because there was an excitement and a passion for what the Lord was doing. The Holy Spirit had come in power, and it was so clear and evident. And, you know, they just, quite honestly, didn't want to spend time working probably and doing their regular responsibilities. They probably just got up in the morning like, well, where are we going to go today? Where are we going to have communion today? And they were so excited and passionate to spend time together. But it was in that environment that we saw the most exponential, explosive growth the church has ever known. So what was the result of that? Well, needs were met. And you know, we talked earlier about when each part of the body is functioning in their role, when each part of the body is finding their special place to play, the body becomes healthier, right? That's exactly what happened with the early church. The Bible says the Lord added to their numbers daily. So it kept on growing and kept on growing. Turn to Hebrews 10. Or look on the screen as well, either way. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So this is the writer of Hebrews, most likely Paul, possibly someone else, but he's saying, don't neglect gathering together. Don't think you can go cordless. Don't think you can do it on your own. Stay connected. Stay together. Motivate each other. Love each other. Encourage each other. And especially now, as the day of his return is drawing near. Well, if that was true 2,000 years ago, it's even that much more true now, right? Because if they were in the last days then, we're really, for sure, in the last days now. So I just want to talk a little bit about our vision for Connect Groups then. The vision that we have for Connect Groups is, it's just really, I can sum it up really simply by saying, our vision is just to create an environment for spiritual growth and relational growth. We're looking for those two things, spiritual growth and relational growth. So relational growth is connecting and building the level of your relationship with people in your church family. And of course, spiritual growth is just increasing the level of your relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Connect groups, they're going to be a place where people can create trusted relationships. What is a trusted relationship? A trusted relationship is a relationship that you know someone and you know really who they are, and so you just have a trust that they're good and that they desire good things for you. You know, when you the more you know about God, the more you can trust him, right? The more you know about his character and nature and his goodness, you know, you can just trust God. So a trusted relationship, you have to know someone to have a trusted relationship with them, right? I can't meet you for the first time and within 10 seconds we just have a trusted relationship, and I would just, like, you know, entrust you to do all kinds of things in my life, care for my children or manage my finances or whatever. I would have to know you a lot more to do something like that, right? And so Connect Groups, an opportunity to create trusted relationships, a place where people can grow in their spiritual walk, a place where teams of friends are mobilized for community outreach. It's an opportunity. You know, there are needs that need to be met in this community, right? I know some of you know these needs and you come across them. Well, it's kind of hard to get all 100 of us together and go do a project and to plan everyone's schedule. And if we were to try and do that, that would be a really difficult thing to do. But if you're in a Connect group, if you're in a group of, say, 10 or 12 people, it's much easier to say, hey, you know what? I found out that my neighbor, needs help moving some stuff in his backyard next Saturday. Who wants to join me and do that, right? It's easy to do things and just meet people's needs and bless people in a small group. It's much easier to coordinate. And a place for leaders to be developed. This is an interesting one because this is not a primary goal, but I want to mention this. You know, Connect Groups will be a safe place for, you know, if you want to try something, if you want to try leading a little bit, or just praying for someone, maybe getting a prophetic word, or leading a question and answer period, or maybe leading a discussion group, Connect Groups would be a great place to do that. Now, we have some leaders in place to start off, and they're going to lead our groups, and they're going to, you know, they're just really capable people. But you know what? They're going to be looking beyond themselves for help in leading these groups, right? And so it's going to be a neat opportunity to do that. We're all going to have opportunities to lead various parts of our groups and contribute in one way or another. And so it's a really neat opportunity to do that. I believe that these groups will be the friends that you laugh with, that you grow with, really the friends that you live life with. Because as we talked about, God has designed us to live in community. And so when we're fulfilling the way he's designed us to live, it is better. Life is better together. I truly believe it is. God has created us. Here's the thing. God has created us not just to love, but to be loved, right? Not just to know him and to know others, but to be known. That's a big thing for some of us. Some of us are willing to get to know other people, but sometimes we're not quite so willing to let other people get to know us. I don't know if anyone's like that. When I was a young fellow, I was about 21 years old, and I knew it was important to go to church in Calgary, but I decided, you know, that I was going to be a little bit more comfortable just going to a larger church because I wasn't as well known. And so probably for 6 months, I went to a place called Jubilee Christian Center in downtown Calgary. And it was a great church. But, you know, I was at the place in my life where, you know what I liked about that church? I could just go in there and I could worship and hear a great word and get built up spiritually. And then I could just blaze out the back door and no one would even notice. You know, and that's just, you know, I'm not saying it was right, but I was in a place in my life where I wasn't quite willing yet to be known. I wanted to know the Word of God, and I wanted to worship, but I wasn't quite ready for another level of relationship, you know, to maybe get involved in a ministry of that church, or to start attending a small group, because they did have small groups, and they promoted them, but I wasn't quite ready there yet. But God's created us, again, not just to know, but to be known, not just to love, but to be loved, not just to serve, but be served. Think about that. Some of us, again, are really good at serving, but sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to let someone else serve you, right? Sometimes it's like, oh, really? I guess I can do that. But it takes a whole other degree of trusted relationship sometimes to let someone love us and serve us. And here's the last one. This is important. God has created us not just to celebrate, but be celebrated. Not just to celebrate, but be celebrated. What does that mean? That means, how can someone celebrate you? Well, if they know you and they know how special you are, then that's going to get them excited. They're going to want to make you feel important. They're going to make you feel good. They're going to want to show their appreciation for you. But they can't do that if they don't know you. So you have to, you know, if we want to be celebrated, if we want to be known, we have to put ourselves, you know, sometimes it's getting a little bit vulnerable and getting a little bit okay with letting people see the real me. But you know what? The love of God will shine through your life. And when you do that, you know, everything's not perfect about you and everything's not perfect about me. And people, obviously, they'll see the good things and maybe they'll see some of the areas where the master potter is still smoothing you out a little bit and still smoothing me out a little bit. But that's okay. When people know us, then it's easier to celebrate us because they'll find the things in your life where you're just truly special, where you're truly unique, where you have unique talents and abilities and unique perspective that maybe no one else in that group has. And that's when I believe that in that environment, when we're known and loved and celebrated and when we're served, that's when life can take place and it really blesses the Lord, the strength of the relationships that come from that. So we have, it's really simple. Fallon helped me with this this last week, but we have just a slogan for our Connect groups. And it's just grow together. It's real simple. Connect groups, grow together. Because we're looking to grow together, but we're looking to grow with the Lord, and then we're looking to be together as well, too. And so that's why you'll see that. When we're promoting the Connect groups, you'll see Connect groups grow together. And all we're saying there is that our vision for the Connect groups is to grow in a greater relationship with the Lord and in greater relationship with each other. And that's really what it's all about. You know, when we're connected with each other, when we're in a greater degree of relationship, we're stronger. The Bible is really clear that we're stronger together than we are apart. I know you guys know this scripture, but I enjoyed reading it again last night when I was preparing. This is Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? That's not necessarily true. I got a good blanket and I can be warm alone. King-size beds are awesome for that. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Two can stand back to back and not just survive. But two can stand back to back and conquer, right? It's our backs that are unprotected, right? When this scripture was written, you know, it was the area of medieval warfare. And so you would have maybe a shield and a sword or perhaps a spear and a shield. And you would have armor, but mostly on the front, right? Because you're supposed to be advancing and taking ground, you know. And so, but you get two soldiers that fight back to back, protecting each other's backs. So that's where the saying comes from, I got your back, right? That's two people, you know, fighting back to back, protecting each other. They're not going to just survive, but they can conquer. They can do really well together. And then three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, I think it's so key that, you know, for us just to have the right group of people around us in our life. You know, the vision for the post, Fallon was talking about it, I believe last week. You know, we have a vision for the post, and our mission there is to give you guys the right word at the right time, right? And so we've this aspect of being right, like what is the right word? Well, it's the anointed word of God at the anointed time in your life. When you need to hear that message of hope, that message of victory for whatever you're going through, you know, so that's the message for the post, is the right word at the right time. Well, having the right group of people around you in life is also very, very, very important, right? So if you're going to have someone protecting your back, you want to have the right person protecting your back, right? You wanted that to be a trusted relationship, someone who knows the Word of God, who knows the spiritual weapons that they have at their disposal. They know they have authority. They know the authority that they have as believers. They know how to take and use that authority. That's the person you want to have in your back, right? And so that's one of our One of the motivators for us with the small groups is to develop those relationships, develop that relationship with the Lord so we can do that. We've talked a little bit about this, but God, I believe that God has created in each of us a desire to be needed and known. And some of us might not be fully aware of that or just learning that and just kind of discovering that right now. But there is a need for each person to be valued. You might not realize it, but you have a need to be valued, to be known, to feel like you have significance, right? And so that's part of my job as a pastor is to put people in place and to put programs in place and to put ministries in place where you guys have an opportunity to be known and needed, right? You have an opportunity to serve. You have an opportunity to fill your role. I can't do it all. I don't want to do it all, but together we can do it all. We really can, right? And the thing with Connect Groups, it's not that one-way street. It's not me talking and you listening, but there's that interaction. There's that back and forth. There's an opportunity to get to know each other really well and opportunities to serve as well. We all have something to offer. I really believe that. You might think, well, I'm not sure I have anything really good to say to someone, or I don't know a whole lot of scripture. There are things in your heart that you're not even aware of. And when you place yourself in a situation where there's a draw, meaning someone needs something from you, you'd be amazed what comes out through the power of the Holy Spirit. You'd be amazed at the wisdom and the advice and the scripture that the Lord will put in your heart. If you're willing to be in that place and give yourself an opportunity where someone might just ask you for prayer or ask you for advice or ask you for a thought, and when you'll be like, afterwards you'll be like, where did that come from? Well, it came from your spirit. That's where it came from. It came right from your heart. It was just the Holy Spirit flowing through, bypass your head and just coming right out of your spirit and flowing into your life. And that's the way it's meant to happen. 1 Peter 4:8-11 says, most importantly of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Verse 10, talking about the aspect of each of us having a role and a gift. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Connect Groups, a place to receive care and give care, right? I'm one pastor. I'm in one place at a time. I can only be talking really to one of you in a meaningful way at a time. So part of my job as a shepherd is absolutely pastoral care, right? But I can't do it all at once, or I can't do it all one time. And, the neat thing about when we have community, we make the choice to join together, and join a connect group and join together in community. We can pastor each other. We can care for each other. We can meet each other's needs. It's an opportunity for that to happen. Then we have many people in many places caring for each other, right? Many people can meet many needs. They can support each other. They can listen to each other. They can pray for each other. Really, my job as a pastor isn't to do all those things anyway, right? The Bible says the role of the pastor is to equip the saints for the ministry. It's not to do the ministry. I mean, that happens. But my primary role is to equip you guys to do the ministry. And so that's what Connect Groups is going to be, that environment where that happens, where that ministry takes place. John 15:12-13 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Sometimes we read that verse. Usually when we read that verse, actually, that aspect of laying down our lives, we typically mean that, we're going to lose our life, right? And, of course, we might read that on Remembrance Day or if someone, sacrifices their life. And I think, by all means, it can mean that. But laying down your life doesn't necessarily mean you have to lose your life, right? It might mean just something really small. It might mean, going and helping shovel your neighbor's walk or run an errand with someone or just maybe cook them a meal if they're not feeling well. It can just mean taking time and energy and a sacrifice of time, energy, maybe money, whatever it is, and just blessing someone else. That's laying down your life. That's letting, your priorities and what you had scheduled or perhaps what you would prefer doing, just lay that down for a little bit and just bless someone and love on them and show them the love of Jesus. That I believe is a powerful example of laying down our life for our friends. And so that when we do that, that can be just an incredible blessing to someone else. A couple other quick points I want to make about connect groups is that, you know, we're part, each of us is a small part of a whole, right? But when we get together, one of the things that we can expect is greater impact. You know, one person can go it alone and do all right. What does the Bible say? One can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000, right? When we're gathered together, it doesn't matter what we're doing, what we're believing God for, whatever we're doing, we can have full expectation that we're going to have greater impact. And I believe we can also expect greater growth. You know, again, teaching can happen on a Sunday morning, but real learning, for me anyway, the best learning takes place when there's discussion and opportunity to ask questions and kind of get a handle on it. That's, for me, when real learning or the best learning takes place. Let's read Romans 1, verse 11 to 12. This is, of course, the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting, Paul's perspective here. He's writing to the church in Rome, and he's saying, "For I long to visit you, so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours." I thought that's really interesting. Paul's saying, when we get together, I know I can do something to help you. God's given me something inside of me, and I can bless you, and I encourage you, but I need it from you guys as well. And so Paul's saying, I also want to be encouraged by your faith. And I thought, well, you know, it's almost hard to believe that the Apostle Paul, who, quite honestly, he's just an absolute hero of mine. There's a movie coming out, actually, it's going to be based on some of the events of Apostle Paul's life. I think it's going to be coming out this year, actually. Has anyone seen the trailer for that? Looks pretty cool anyway. It's Paul and Luke, and I think Paul's in prison in Rome and kind of recounting some of the things in his life. I'm really looking forward to that movie because I've actually long thought if there was, you know, we have the story of Moses, and, you know, there's been, you know, like 10 commandments. There's lots of Bible stories have been done, but I wanted to always see a movie about the Apostle Paul because I just thought he's just had such a wild and crazy life and his missionary journeys and the miracles and the amount of times he was just attacked and persecuted, but he persevered to the end, and he got to witness just that explosive growth of the early church. And so we're here, we have Apostle Paul. You know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and he's just an absolute hero of the faith, and he's saying, I can't wait. I want to have a visit from you guys. I want to get together with you guys because there's something I want to give you, but there's something I need to really see. I'll be encouraged when we hang out. You guys have something to give me. That tells me that we're never too spiritually developed. We're never too far ahead of the game where we don't need community, right? It doesn't matter wherever we're at in our spiritual walk. We need that connectedness. We need that community. We need that opportunity to be with each other. So starting next week, you're going to have the opportunity to join a connect group. So what we're going to do, I'm just going to give you guys just some kind of practical information how this is going to work. I'm not going to be actually here next week. I'll be here the week after. But next week, you're going to have the opportunity to join one of our small groups. And so what's going to happen is after the service on the 11th and the 18th, we're going to have a sign-up table at the back, and we're going to have a couple of our leaders there, and you're going to have the opportunity to sign up for a group. So we're going to have a clipboard and just some spaces on there, and you can choose a group and sign up. Of course, there'll be information there on when that group is meeting and where they're going to be meeting at. That information will all be there for you. We have a great group of leaders to start off, and so I'm excited that we have Tim and Ainsley that are going to be hosting a connect group in Minnetonas. Candace and myself are going to be hosting a group. We're great leaders as well. We're not sure yet, though, where we're going to meet, but we have Tim and Ainsley in Minnetonas. My parents are going to be hosting a group, I believe, out in Pretty Valley. Is that what we decided? So they're going to be just 10 minutes south of town here. We're going to have a couple of groups in Swan River as well. We're going to have Brad and Shelley Hearn, and they're going to have Dan and Leah Hearn. So the Hearns are going to handle the small groups in Swan River. And so we have 5 leaders right now. We're going to see how it goes. If you guys, you know, rush back there next week and every sheet is absolutely filled up, I'm going to be coming around to some more folks and saying, okay, we need a couple more leaders. We need some more homes to host these small groups. So we're going to see, you know, this is new to us. We're kind of figuring it out as we go, but we have 5 leaders right now. So likely there'll probably be a couple groups in the Minnetonas area, a couple groups in Swan River, and then the one group in Pretty Valley to start things off. So we'll try and kind of have it spread out just a little bit. But you'll have an opportunity to choose a group, to put your name down. Now that group, we're not going to meet once a week forever and ever. Till the Lord comes. We're not going to set it up that way. What we're going to do is we're going to have a term of time. We'll call it a term. It'll probably be 8 weeks or so for the very first time. I say or so because not every group will start on the same day or, you know, depending on people's schedules. But roughly 8 weeks. So roughly from, say, mid-March to mid-May in there. It'll be a commitment of 8 weeks. So 8 weeks, once a week, of gathering in that person's home and participate in the life of a small group. Then we'll take a break for the summer because we need to have breaks. And I like to go fishing, and some of you like to go fishing as well, too. And you have to leave time for fishing and camping and those things. But then in the fall, we'll be starting up the small groups again, right? And so that'll be another term. And so you'll have the opportunity. You can join the same group if you like, or if you want to join a different group and maybe perhaps hang out with a different group of people for that term, for that period of time, you'll be able to do that as well. We'll make sure to end that, you know, well before Christmas, so that, you know, all the preparations that you need to make for Christmas, you're able to do that. Christmas time is just a real busy time, so we probably won't run those groups through December. And in the new year, guess what? A new term as well, right? So you can kind of see the pattern that we'll probably have a couple different terms or periods of time, in the new year, roughly maybe 8 weeks, 10 weeks. It depends what we're studying, what we're going through. But we'll have breaks in between. Some of the times during those breaks, we'll have opportunities midweek to gather together here at the church. We haven't exactly figured what that's going to look like, but there'll be times where we might say, you know what, we're not going to have connect groups for the next 6 weeks, but in that period of time, maybe we'll have a 4-week video teaching by, you know, Brother Keith Moore, for example. And so, you know, instead of going to group that week, if you still want to do something on a Wednesday or whatever that night is, we can come to the church and gather together and be part of a group that way. And so there'll be always things going on, but there'll be breaks as well. I want you guys, it's important to know that, right? Because this aspect of signing up for a group, I don't want anyone to think that this is like, they're just signing the dotted line and that's it. It's like a marriage contract, you know, and speak now or forever hold your peace. It's not like that as well, too. We ask that when you join a group, you'll be part of that group for the 8 weeks. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to have trades and transactions like, well, I'll give you my second round for your, you know, we're not going to have trades and that sort of thing going on. We'll be part of that group for that period of time. But here's the thing. It's also an opportunity to invite people to that group. And I want to be really clear about that, you know, we're presenting it to you guys as a church family. But do you know that there are some people, they'll come to a home, they might come to your home, or they might come to someone else's home long before they'll ever come to church. And so this is an opportunity. You know, we're seeing this from quite a few different angles, but there's a really unique outreach opportunity. You might have a friend or a neighbor, someone who has a spiritual interest. Perhaps they've said to you, man, I just wish I had more friends. Sometimes I just come home and just flick on the TV and not sure what to do. You can say, you know what? There's a group of friends, you know, people from my church. We're getting together at my house or someone else's house. Let's say it's on a Tuesday night. Do you want to come check it out? You know, you'd be surprised who would be willing to do that. And I think it'll be a unique opportunity for people to be exposed to the truth of the gospel, to be exposed to what a loving community of believers looks like. And they don't even have to come in the doors of a church. And that's really the way it should be, right? Is that people get to experience the love of God. They get to experience community even before they come through church. I believe that there's many different ways that people can come to Christ. There's many different ways that people can come to the gospel. But these connect groups, these small groups, will be just an awesome, powerful opportunity. We have Dwayne and Julie Allen are friends of ours that we know in Regina. And they live in the northwest corner of Regina. And do you know that they have a small group formed entirely of neighbors that they have led to the Lord? That's their small group. Just the people on their street and people across the street and people on the other side of the cul-de-sac. And it's just people that they've witnessed to and said, hey, we have some people coming over for a barbecue. Do you want to come over? Or come over for a meal? Or, you know, we're doing a Bible study. Is that something that you'd ever consider, like, checking out? And they just have a natural way about them, and they have a small group, and it's just, you know what? Now all those people are not just attending a small group. Of course, they're plugged into Harvest Church in Regina. But it happened in the context of a small group. It happened through, they call them life groups in their church. We're going to call ours connect groups. But they're both small groups. But it happened in that small group environment, just an easy place to invite people. And so we're believing for that kind of fruit with our groups. Let me see if I'm hitting all the details here. I think that's good. Of course, we'll have, I think, Tim and Ainsley and Brad and Shelley next week at the back, right? And so we'll have a couple, they'll be both back there, a couple set of couples, and they'll have the information there. So if you have more questions about the Connect groups, you'll certainly be able to ask them. The sign-up forms will be there. You can certainly speak to myself as well if you have some questions about how this is going to work. But I want to challenge you guys. This is what I want to leave you guys with here. I want to challenge you guys to consider going deeper in relationship. Consider going deeper in relationship with the Lord, and to consider going deeper in relationship with each other. Some of us have, our personal space is important, right? We might have a little bit of a personal space bubble. Just consider just perhaps being willing just to poke that bubble a little bit and make yourself a little bit more vulnerable and giving yourself an opportunity, you know, to be known a little bit more and perhaps be appreciated a little bit more and to be loved a little bit more and to serve a little bit more and give yourself an opportunity to get in that kind of an environment where people know you and they can celebrate you. I want to read Ephesians 4, 15 to 16 from the Passion Translation. I was blessed when I read this morning. We already read verses 14 and 15 from the New Living, but this is 15 and 16 from the Passion Translation. Should I pull it up on my phone or do you have it there, hon? I can get it from my phone too. I took the screenshot because the Bible app doesn't always work the way I want it to. All right, this is the Passion Translation. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into Him, the anointed head of His body, the church. You know what? This is my desire as pastor of this church, and I know this is a desire for our leadership team, that all of our ministries will flow from Christ and they will lead us, so you and us, deeper into Him, the anointed head of His body, the church. Verse 16, for His body has been formed in His image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. The body of Christ is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. As these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. We started off by talking about needs and how, you know, the church is a body. And if you're missing, there's something missing from the body. And, and we all miss out. When it's not just you that misses, but we miss out as well. And if I'm not here, you guys would miss me. And, you know, the church needs all of us discovering what is our role to play. What is that special part that God's given us? We each have a gift. Every single one of us has something to contribute, has a gift to share, a role to play. There's something in our hearts that's going to bless someone, encourage them, build them up. And when we do that, as these gifts operate effectively through the whole body, we're built up and made perfect in love. Isn't that what the Christian walk is about, is being made perfect in love through the power of Jesus? That's really what it's about, right? And so thank you for hearing me out today with on this aspect of community and relationships and connect groups. I'm not an over-top kind of person, but I hope you can tell I'm excited about this. I really am. We met as leaders last Tuesday, and one of the things that we ended off with is, you know, we were just talking about the fact that we don't know where this is going to go. We really, we don't know all the fruit. We don't know all the good things that are going to happen from this. But we are absolutely certain there is going to be many, many good things that happen from this. We are absolutely certain that this is going to strengthen us as believers. It's going to strengthen the fabric of our church. It's going to bring us just a whole other level as we choose to get connected. So that's my challenge to you guys. If this is new to you, if this is not something that you've considered doing before, I ask that you prayerfully consider it and think about, well, could I do that for 8 weeks? Could I join a group for 8 weeks? I've been part of, several churches that have had small groups or life groups or cell groups or connect groups, call them what you will. And I was thinking about this morning. I cannot ever remember one person ever saying to me, what a waste of time. it doesn't happen, right? But we have so many testimonies. I can think back to Medicine Hat when Canis and I led a group there. And it started off with like 6 and then 8 and 12 and pretty soon it was 20 and we had to split it off. And so many people say, man, I just love my life group. I just love getting together and just kind of, sharing time together. And really, that's the kind of testimonies I know we're going to have in this church. As we make that decision to love and be loved, to know and be known, to serve and be served, to celebrate and celebrate, as we make that decision, I really believe there will be no regrets at all. We won't regret it at all. What we'll be able to do is we'll be able to look back, and it'll be like one of those TSN turning points. It'll be like, we'll look back at the life of Solid Rock Church, just that arc of growth. We will say, you know what, something happened right there. When we started those groups, we did that thing. Something happened. Something changed in the life of Solid Rock Church. We made the decision to connect deeper with each other and connect deeper with the Lord. I truly, truly believe that. So thank you for hearing me today, and I'm going to be blessed and excited to hear how the sign-up goes next week. Let's stand.